What do the states in the storm zone need, Mr. President?
Okay.
What do the states in the storm zone, what do they need after what you saw today?
Oh, in the storm zone?
Yes, sir.
I'm wondering what storm you're talking about. They're getting everything they need. They're very happy across the board.
He doesn't know what storm? Wait. Was this like asked like 5 years ago? Like, what is he talking about? I don't know what storm you're talking about. You mean that big wet one that came through the southern states and...
You know, the one you just toured.
Yeah, I have no idea. I have no idea about that storm. What are you talking about? I can't even deal, dude. I'm at my limit with the reactions by some of these people. Every time I see video online and all these people are struggling. I wish I could fly a helicopter. I almost want to like Matrix, like learn how to fly a helicopter so I can chop her in and like be rescuing people. And just saying, golly, I mean, you know, maybe it's time to learn how to fly a chopper. I don't know. It makes me mad because we have all these resources because we pay, you know, the taxes, and the government's just sitting there like, still know what to do. I have no clue. Welcome to the show. It's Friday. So what I like to do on Friday is kind of wrap everything up for you if there's anything that you missed for the week. And then I want to get you set up for the weekend as well. And so we're going to get you all set up, like I said. So we're going to get you set. And then we're going to kind of preview maybe some of the things to come perhaps this next week. Because now we're getting closer and ever closer to election. We're less now officially. I think we're going to be like this a month away next week. Whew. So, yeah. So we got and I'm going to start also incorporating more of the polling and all that in. And as I have been doing so, we'll get you set up. All right. So first and foremost, the reaction with the storm and it's pretty amazing to see the FEMA failure. How many times are we going to see FEMA failure? I gotta say, it's a failure almost no matter who is in charge, kind of, because it's FEMA, because it's such a huge entity, and it just seems like there's zero oversight of this. They're broke. They've had billions of dollars that they have spent on all of this other stuff that has to do with illegal immigration and processing. I was talking to a friend of mine and I'm like, well, tell me, and this individual actually was associated with the IG's office that came out with this report. And this is on background, but they were saying that, well, you know, they keep it pretty intentionally vague, but yeah, they're legit talking about not detention and deportation, but housing, meals, clothing, things like that. The gift cards, prepaid phones. That's what this entails. That's what all that means. It's not just, oh, this is for immigration judges. And I feel, in watching a lot of the commentary, and I was watching some clips last night, Grabian, and I was watching a couple clips on social media from MSN and CNN. I got the impression that they were trying to mislead people into thinking that the money that we're talking about, the billions of dollars that's been appropriated from FEMA for all of this stuff, I got the impression that they were trying to mislead people into thinking that it was for, oh, it's for processing and it's for Border Patrol stuff, you know, and it's for also, you know, immigration judges and that process. And it's not. And that's why they're so very, very, very vague about all of it. And I, you know, just like I said, I just feel like that's intentional and malicious. And I'm just, it's frustrating because now you're trying to figure out, well, what are our tax dollars going through? You're keeping it intentionally vague. You know, you're the taxpayer. Shouldn't you have like an itemized list of things? And in any other employment scenario, that's kind of how that goes, right? You know where your money's going to. You can tell, and this is just not one of those things. So we're gonna continue following this because the response has been insane. And I gotta say, who is it always that are like the first people to show up? And I come from Southern Missouri, so you know I'm like indicting myself in this partially, you know, in a way, because the first people who show up are who? The religious people and the rednecks. I mean, you don't need FEMA. Get you a hillbilly. You know what I mean? Those are two different things. Don't you mess them up either. Depending on where you go, them's two different things. But you know, all you need is some good old hillbillies, and you need to get and then get you some get you some Baptists, and you're set. I mean, these people are showing up. So I got friends that got. I have a lot of friends. I have some friends that have kids out in North Carolina. I got friends that have out in South Carolina. Other friends out in North Carolina. I mean, I've been talking to everyone, and they're like, it's funny because. Like the whole, all the other churches, like all the other churches affiliated with their church in the area show up and they got everybody there. They got their generators. They're showing up with baked goods. They're showing up with, of course, you got to have that casserole. That is, can I just make a quick offhand remark about the casserole? The ubiquitous American dish, the casserole. It's great for graduations. It's great for weddings. It's great for funerals. It's great for family holiday get-togethers. It's great for hurricane response. So you I mean, it's like the ubiquitous dish, right? So showing up with casseroles, showing up with necessities, like days before FEMA's even like, wait, what? There was a storm? Because you don't need big government. You never do. It's always these same people who show up. Always these same people. I was watching another video, and I feel pretty confident saying that the dude was a redneck. And we can't play it because the guy's taking the video is very excited about what he's seen. And he's like, you know, MF-er, this is awesome. And then he's like celebrating with one finger salutes. But anyway, I watched a video of, you know, good old boy on a four-wheeler. Sorry, four-wheeler. This is where the Southern Missouri is coming in. Four-wheeler. And pulling kids literally like in a little boat behind him. And it's pretty deep water. And they're just carting around, bringing these kids around. I mean, it's real video. I mean, they're getting out there and getting it done. I'm just saying, you don't... FEMA almost makes itself unnecessary, except that it sucks up all the tax dollars. Can you imagine being Alejandro Mayorkas right now? How can that guy walk with his head high in D.C.? How can he walk out in public in D.C. anywhere? I mean, it's shameful. It's absolutely shameful. And so, I don't know. It is unbelievable to see this stuff, the way that it's happening, and the, again, consistent failure of FEMA. And I'm not trying to do whataboutism here, or I'm not both sides-ing it. But on top of, you have two things happening, because FEMA's under DHS. DHS is under so much fire. You have the story, and I put this in your prep if you are a subscriber over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. This is in your prep. I have the story of the IG report, where they are saying, yeah, well, we kind of, yeah, it's true. I mean, we were just letting anybody on the planes. Sorry about that. We were just letting every single person get up there and, you know, just get on the planes without ID. None of, you know, I mean, it was a heavily redacted report, but they found out that CBP, ICE, and TSA did not fully assess the risks associated with releasing non-citizens who had zero ID into the U.S. and then allowing them to get on all these domestic flights. And in fact, in the report, it said under current processes, CBP and ICE cannot ensure that they're even keeping high-risk non-citizens without identification from entering the country. Additionally, they add, TSA cannot ensure that its vetting and screening procedures prevent high-risk non-citizens who may pose a threat to the flying public from boarding domestic flights. This is all on Alejandro Mayorkas' watch right now. All of this. All of this is DHS. How do you let this guy continue to do his job? Well, let me rephrase that. How do you allow this guy to be in this position when he's not doing his job? We're going to talk more about this. The strike is over. Well, not really. It's suspended so far. So it's not over. It's just suspended. And they're going to have like, what is it? They're not doing the 77%. What is it? 63%? Increase. Now, this is all going to basically go up again. They announced a truce. They were going back and forth with the United States Maritime Alliance. So they've got this truce, essentially. And this is going to affect the wages. It's a tentative agreement on wages. They've agreed to extend the master contract until January 15th. And they're going to return to the bargaining table. So this is designed to give them more ability to negotiate. And they said all current jobs effective immediately. All current job actions will cease. All work covered by the master contract will resume. And I'm just wondering how much of this was undercut by a couple of different factors here. The fact that you have Harold Daggett Kane, what's the phrase? It's like this old cartoon where the guy's like, and I have a mansion and a yacht. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
What is that?
Was that Bugs Bunny?
I don't think so. Somebody on the internet will tell me. It was in my mind, and I was trying to, internet wasn't helping me. But he's got all these things. I mean, I was joking. I wasn't joking. It was real, but I was laughing at it. The guy wears Cartier sunglasses. He's got a Rolex watch. He's wearing gold chains. I mean, I'm like, is this P. Diddy, or is this like a guy who's had it? Like, what's up? And so, I mean, he was bragging about, I'm going to cripple you. That didn't help him. And then on top of it, then you had Ron DeSantis, who was like, okay, you're going to play this way. I'm just going to send the guard out. I'm going to send the guard out to Florida sports. I'm going to handle it on my end. Very interesting how all of a sudden everyone was like, oh, maybe we shouldn't be messing around like this. Maybe we shouldn't. We're going to actually talk to the governor about that at the bottom of this hour, because I just thought the timing was quite interesting. Not long after DeSantis had said, yeah, you know what, we're going to call the guard out and we're going to have them keep the ports open because our state has to recover. So he was going to send in the National Guard and all this. Now, that's not the only thing. Where are the other governors with some of this stuff too, by the way? Like North Carolina's governor and all this stuff. Like, why, you know, a lot of these other states, do you realize how probably this maybe wouldn't have even gone on as long as it did if other governors took this type of action? So on top of this, by the way, we're not going to only ask him about that, because he's ordering in the guard to keep those before they had a suspension. He said we're sending them over. We're going to have everybody that's all the docks affected by it. They're going to direct the Department of Transportation. They're going to waive select tolls, weight regulations for trucks. He was making it easier for truckers. They did that during the hurricane too, lockdown too. He was going to tell Highway Patrol to oversee flow of traffic from all ports into the state. He was like, we're going to make sure all this stuff gets deployed because there's people that need these supplies. And I mean, you can't tell me that didn't further undermine this dude's position. You cannot tell me otherwise. Now, the other thing that they're doing is, because the hurricane, what did I say? We've got elections, what, in 4 weeks? What is a lot of this infrastructure and a lot of these impassable roads? What impact is it going to have on early voting? What impact will that have on election day if this stuff isn't cleaned up? So one of the things that he's saying is he wants election supervisors to make accommodations and they're going to make accommodations for voters in counties that were really hit hard by the hurricane. So that's part of it. Where are the other governors doing this? Oh my gosh. And then we got Hurricane Kirk. What a jerk. Tell him to go away. We don't want him. We got a lot to hit. We got headlines on the way as we roll into the bottom of this particular hour. And like I said, we have the Florida governor is going to be joining us by phone coming up at the bottom of the hour. So you don't want to miss any of that. We're going to get you set up for the weekend and get you all caught up with absolutely everything. Our partners that help bring you free radio. It's the folks over at Kel-Tec, the P15, the lightest, thinnest 9mm on the market, double stack 9mm from the inventors of the micro compact pistol category. And it comes with two magazines, standard 15-round magazine, minimal pinky extension, and a flush-fit double-stack mag that holds 12 rounds. You get the tritium and fiber-optic front sight, fully adjustable fiber-optic two-dot rear. And it's a striker-fire reliability, nice, sweet, smooth trigger pull, compact and ideal for carry, for concealed carry self-defense. You got the metal version with the walnut wood panels and the polymer version, gator grip texture. Really, it's just a great gun. I have both of these. I love them. The lightest, thinnest 9mm I got, and I don't have to lose stopping power, and I got ultra concealability, all from Kel-Tec. It's the P15. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com, KelTecWeapons.com. It's the P15. Tell them Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Kane was reminding me of Hurricane Kirk, which is strengthening into a Category 4 storm in the Atlantic, but it looks like it's going to turn north. So it doesn't look like it's going to get anywhere near the eastern seaboard. I mean, these are just like the latest predictions from the National Weather Service. But it looks like it's going to take a sharp turn to the north on Sunday and then go out. I think everybody's going to be okay. So in the meantime, fatalities from Helene, more than 200. Hope is fading in search for survivors. People are still looking endlessly. And they said at least 215 known fatalities. More than half of the deaths were in North Carolina, where you still have several feet of fast-moving water destroying entire communities. Hundreds are still missing. And they're, of course, taking donations through Red Cross, Samaritan's Purse, and a number of other volunteer organizations as well. A lot of states are organizing to help. I'm sure this has nothing to do with injections of experimental solution, but there's an alarming rise of super fit slim people who are suffering heart attacks. And they're trying to say it's a like the virus, maybe the Rona, but not the vax. I mean, the injection. 0.3% of Americans aged 18 to 44 had a heart attack in 2019, but it rose to 0.5% or 1 in 200. Now, it still seems like it's a low number, but it's a 66% increase in total in just over 4 years. It's enough that doctors are calling it alarming, and they're trying to figure out exactly what happened in order for this to drive up that much. I'm sure it had nothing to do with any kind of anything that rhymes with schmacks, though. That's right. So Cheetos food coloring is turning mice transparent. This is a fascinating story from the Wall Street Journal. It's because the mice are taking it and, well, it's like they're testing like some of the food coloring stuff. I would think that it wouldn't turn them transparent. I thought like the Cheeto stuff would turn them Cheeto colored, but it's a popular food dye, excuse me, that actually is turning the skin of live mice transparent. So you can, it's like see-through. You can see their organs and stuff. And that's kind of weird. So I'm just wondering, can that work? Like for like the people? I don't know. Just, you know, coming up, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis joins us by phone. He's trying to do everything he can to help Floridians and also assist some of these other states that have been hit hard by Helene. Stick with us. Tax Network USA. You know, you wouldn't need that if you didn't have the government theft agency taking so much of our cash dollars. I'm sorry, the IRS. Excuse me. Verbal typo. A lot of people are facing back taxes or unfiled returns because, see, your taxes haven't changed, even though you're still recovering from lockdown. You're still recovering, trying to deal with inflation. If you run a business, all your costs are insane right now. You're not going to break on your taxes. No, sir. No, ma'am. And you got a deadline approaching on October 15th. You want to act because you don't want to be caught off guard. This is where Tax Network USA comes in. Schedule a complimentary consultation. Call 1-800-958-1000 or visit tnusa.com/Dana. Don't be overwhelmed. They will help you. Tax Network USA has a proven success record. They have saved their clients over $1 billion in back taxes. They have the expertise and reliability for your tax relief. They have skilled professionals. It's an expert team that will secure you the best resolution for your issues. You'll get the most favorable outcome with Tax Network USA. Doesn't matter if you owe $10,000 or $10 million, whether or not it's for business or personal, they have the tools and the experience to handle any situation. And whether you're able to pay or on a fixed income, Tax Network USA provides tailored solutions to help you solve your tax burdens effectively. Don't miss this October 15th deadline. Visit tnusa.com/Dana or call 1-800-958-1000 for a free consultation. They'll guide you through a few simple questions to determine how much you can save. Act now before it's too late. tnusa.com/Dana.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. You can listen coast to coast in any state in the union. You can also check out the simulcast, Channel 347 DirecTV, also on Rumble, where the discussion happens, X as well. I made the joke, it's not a joke, it's serious, that whenever anything goes down, anything goes sideways in America, you always got a group of people who show up. You got the religious folks who show up. And of course, don't forget the ever ubiquitous casserole. And then you also have what? Cajun Navy. And then you got Floridians. And then you also apparently have Florida Governor Ron DeSantis who shows up. And I love these memes that have been out there because it's like a nation called and he was surveying his outfit of his waiters and his vest, like going to go out there and answer the call. Then there was the strike as well. And he announced yesterday that he was sending out the National Guard to ports affected by this strike. And very interestingly, not long after that happened, there was a suspension of the strike. They're going to go back to the bargaining table. I do find the timing on that very interesting. He's a very busy man, so he's joining us by phone. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis right now. Governor, pleasure to have you. Thanks for giving us some of your time today. I find, first off, thank you for your efforts in helping so many people that have been affected by this hurricane. I mean, you had Operation Blue Ridge where you were going up into the mountains and getting Floridians out of the mountains. And now you got the reaction with the dock workers and now that's resuming. You've been busy and you've been making a lot of things happen. So thank you.
Well, we're happy to do it. You know, this was a Category 4 hurricane, and it was also a large storm. So it created really significant storm surge all the way up the west coast of Florida. So it hit in Florida's Big Bend area, North Florida, which has also had two hurricanes in the last 13 months in addition to this. But it was in Tampa Bay, Sarasota, all those other areas. So it affected our state in a big way. But we were prepared for it. We had tens of thousands of utility workers pre-staged. As soon as the storm passed, they went out for power restoration, and we've done 2.4 million power restorations, which is a record time for a major hurricane. But local and state conducted thousands of rescue missions as soon as the storm hit, and those were successful missions. And as a result, by the time we got to last weekend, we didn't have demand for rescue missions. So I have things like Chinook helicopters. I've got a Florida State Guard that I created. We've got assets for rescue. So I sent them to North Carolina. No, there was like hardly anybody helping these folks. And Western North Carolina, Floridians get this, when it is hot in the summer here, if you go to Western North Carolina, all these great little towns in the mountains, half the people are from Florida, it seems like. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's like
I didn't know that was the thing for Floridians.
Oh,
I learned
gosh,
that from...
unbelievable. Yes. I mean, I remember my first year as governor, we were up in the mountains, and, you know, I attended a dinner. They did a dinner for me. And I walk out, and there's all these other people do it, and they all stand up and clap, and they're like, we're all from Florida, like almost every one of them. So it's a huge, huge connection to our state. So I knew we probably would have some Floridians there that needed to get out of there, but I also knew they were going to need help, period, and I had assets. So we sent the assets there. So they've conducted rescues. We've dropped tens of thousands of pounds of food and water and other things in those key areas, and our State Guard, our Fish and Wildlife, our National Guard, we're even sending 7,500 feet of temporary bridges to help them reconstruct some of the bridges. So we're happy to do it, but I'll tell you, yeah, there's a lot now of focus. People are complaining about FEMA. Where was FEMA? Where was Biden? Where were the feds? Florida, when we do it, we prepare assuming we're not going to get any help from the feds. You should never put your hand, your fate and destiny in the hands of FEMA. So we view FEMA just as a bank account. When a disaster is declared, people in the affected areas can apply for the different programs, individual assistance. The municipalities and the counties and the state can get reimbursed for things like debris. But we have our people. We've got our sheriff's departments, our police departments, our firefighters, all the state agencies. We're there. We prepare, we respond, and we do not ever do that. So that's just the first thing on that. Now, on the ports, you're in a situation where the stated goal of this strike was to, quote, cripple the entire United States economy.
Yeah.
I think that's unacceptable. I'm not just going to sit back and let that happen. But certainly when we have people who are going to need to rebuild their homes, and they're going to need the supplies that come in, as a matter of course, through American ports, why would you want to cripple people who are already on their back after getting hit by a Category 4 storm? I think the whole thing was untenable. So yes, we did the executive order saying, I'm sending Florida National Guard there. We're going to be able to keep the ports open. And I just didn't think that that this would last long, because I just think you can't look the American people in the eye and say somehow acceptable to have ships just sitting in the Gulf of Mexico or sitting on the in the Atlantic Ocean with urgent supplies that people would need. And if this had gone on much longer, you would have started to see some real significant things. But we're also mindful that this is going to potentially resume in January. So we're going to keep our plan in place, and we're going to make sure people, and it's not just getting the supplies to folks for the hurricane, which is important. But when you're recovering from a hurricane, you want to get businesses up and running again.
Right.
Businesses need to sell their goods. We have businesses that export all kinds of good stuff and do very well as a result of it. They get impacted too. So Biden had no leadership on this. Harris had no leadership on this. And so we were happy to be able to step in and fill the void.
Well, it was much needed because it was absent nationally. Talking to Florida Governor Ron DeSantis via phone, I noted, too, that you had also directed Florida Department of Transportation to waive the collection of tolls, all other fees for commercial vehicles, so that even waiving size and weight restrictions so that people could get what they needed and they could get it to the people who needed it as well. And you said you're anticipating, I mean, this could happen again in January. So you're ready to handle it. I have to say, Governor, the timing was interesting because not long after you did this, a lot of people are saying, giving you a lot of credit for bringing that to a close, or at least bringing them back to the negotiating table.
Well, look, I think I was the first major elected official to actually lean in on it in a way that benefited the public. I think a lot of other people have been kind of tiptoeing around it. A lot of people were justifying what was happening. And I'm just thinking to myself, that is not in the best interest of Florida or this country. And so we were happy to use our megaphone and then also take decisive action. And we were already negotiating with other companies who were planning on bringing ships into certain ports that were then shut down to get rerouted to some of the Florida ports. And so that was going to happen for sure. And that was one of the reasons why we wanted the National Guard, just to ensure order, also to ensure that everything could get unloaded and then brought where it needed to go. So there was a lot of moving parts behind the scene. I'm glad that it worked out to where it is now, but I don't think this is the end of it. And I think we'll see what happens in January. We'll have done a lot of work on people's hurricane response in terms of helping with their homes and stuff, but there's still going to be a lot more that needs to be done. And I think, Dana, you follow these things. You know, when you have these things, it becomes crunch anyways, because you're talking about an inordinate amount of supplies compared to what you would normally use in a given area, and then the contractors and everything. So this stuff can get backed up under the best of circumstances. Just imagine if you stop bringing in the key materials that we need to make all this happen. It would have been a total disaster, but I was confident.
A significant portion of that imported in. Exactly. I wanted to ask you too, Governor, while I have you. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, I was confident we would be able to mitigate with what I had done, but I was even more confident just the optics of this, to have people suffering and basically be told that you're just SOL. That was not going to be something that was sustainable. And so I knew we would be able to get this stuff resumed.
You're also looking ahead to Election Day. And so you've authorized, Governor, supervisors of elections in the hardest hit counties, including Taylor and Manatee, to make appropriate accommodations so that people who are able to vote, like how similar to how after Hurricane Ian, you're looking ahead, because it is, you usually see, just like we saw with the pandemic, big government that will exploit a natural or political man-made disaster. And then, got a lot of questions about elections that happen after that. Tell us about this, because I haven't seen any other governor doing this either.
This is exactly what we did for Hurricane Ian. So 2022, I was actually on the ballot running for re-election, and we had polling places that just got wiped off the map. And so we had to be able to let the supervisors improvise. They would be able to do different voting sites. All of it was above board. We keep all the same safeguards in place. But if you look at the path of this hurricane, Florida, we're taken care of. We're going to be fine. But if you look at Georgia and North Carolina, the path that this took is probably, I would say, 2-1 Republicans in the path of that and that storm. Certainly in western North Carolina, Asheville is very blue. Everything else in western North Carolina is dark red. So I think it's important that those states do something similar, because if not, I think you could see a noticeable drop off in the turnout. I mean, think about it. If you are in like the mountains of North Carolina, and they can't mail you an absentee ballot because the roads are still damaged in time, what are you going to do? How are you going to be able to make that happen? So especially in North Carolina, I think they need to make sure that there's accommodations so that these voters are able to have their voice heard. North Carolina was decided in 2020 by one percentage point. This is a state that's been very, very competitive. We don't have the luxury of just seeing, 10, 15,000 people who otherwise would have voted not be able to vote. So I think it's important. I think it's the right thing to do. But I also just think in terms of the election, I think it's really important that those folks are able to vote.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, especially now it's such a battleground state now, North Carolina. I mean, that's why we see both of the campaigns battling over it. It's very nerve-wracking. I'm so glad. And I know a lot of other people out there. We got a lot of Floridians in our terrestrial listening market. And of course, people who listen digitally, Governor, they're so excited to see somebody nationally step up and fill the leadership gap that we're not seeing from the White House. I just got one last thing. You mentioned FEMA and the funds. Apparently, there's a whistleblower that's come forward saying that FEMA misappropriated funds, talking about billions of dollars that have gone towards people who've entered the country illegally, not even for immigration processing or detention and deportation, but housing and debit cards and or gift cards and things of that nature. And there's hardly anything. All the people that pay in for taxes are not seeing the return on that investment in terms of FEMA response. Your final word on that, Governor?
Well, I think it's outrageous. But here's the thing, Dana, that bugs me about this, because I don't expect anything better from Mayorkas and Biden and Harris. We have a Republican House of Representatives. We knew this was going on. This is not anything new. They've been spending this money through DHS on the illegals for the time Biden became president. They had the ability with the power of the purse to shut off the nonsense. And what do? They just continue funding these omnibus and continuing resolutions. So they have not used the power of the purse to hold Biden and Mayorkas accountable on any of the things, immigration, you name it. And so, yes, this has been a total farce as to how that money was used. Yes, they're going to continue to make excuses. And yes, Biden is ultimately the one who's committing the misdeeds. But man, we elected a Republican House to be able to rein in this crap. And they never did. They never lifted a finger to hold DHS or Mayorkas accountable in an effective way.
Boy, there's the election might turn into a reckoning. I mean, we might be looking at that in November. So some of these people need to walk the walk to which their political affiliation is stated. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, always a pleasure, Governor. Thank you for what you're doing. I know you're busy. You got to get out there helping Floridians and everybody else in the nation. We appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Thanks. God bless.
Of course. God bless. We have more to come, folks, as we wrap up this first hour. And of course, we got Days of These United States on the way. And of course, brought to you by sponsors, people, so you don't have to pay a subscription fee. So you can just get free radio, free commentary. So our new sponsor, it's Burnagun. Now, you guys know I have zero problem. I carry all the time, and I have zero issue using lethal force to protect myself and my loved ones. There are times when, you know, you might be barred because of, you know, the magical gun-free zone sign. If it's private property, if it's a government, whatever it is, you might not be able to carry and protect yourself. I have friends who live in D.C. who they have to work in D.C. And one of my friends, actually, I have one friend that works in media and another friend that actually works in healthcare. And my friend that works in healthcare, not to say too much, but she's a nurse and she works in trauma. And she wants to be able to protect herself because sometimes, you know, maybe she's got to leave and go out and get into her car at like 3 a.m. You know, if she's finishing a shift, she doesn't want to be disarmed. You've seen the crime rates. I mean, everybody's aware of this. So she went out and got a Byrna SD. Now, that's their best selling model. What is it? Well, it shoots chemical irritant projectiles that provide a powerful deterrent from up to 50 feet away. It can stop these threats. Now, this is different from like your regular stun gun, which is like maybe 1 to 2 shots, maybe 2. That's it. Byrna has 5 rounds. It's legal in all 50 states. No background check required. No permit. And it can be shipped right to your door. So if you're in one of those predicaments, you want to make sure that you have options for self-defense. And by the way, my nurse friend Carrie, she's got one of those very difficult to get carry licenses in D.C. But, you know, I mean, it's D.C., so they ban almost everything everywhere. So she went out and got a Byrna SD. It's good to have a diversified array of defensive options. And that's what Byrna wants to fill and help you out with. And you can visit Byrna.com/Dana to get 10% off your purchase. BYRNA. Choose your model. There's different models. There's different colors, projectiles, accessories, and diversify your options. Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Hi, I'm Bruce Springsteen. Friends, fans, and the press have asked me who I'm supporting in this most important of elections. And with full knowledge that my opinions no more or less important than those of any of my fellow citizens, here's my answer. I'm supporting Kamala Harris for president and Tim Walz for vice president and opposing Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. Here's why. We are shortly coming upon one of the most consequential elections in our nation's history. Perhaps not since the Civil War has this great country felt politically, spiritually, and emotionally
divided. With my perfectly coiffed hair. I got to hide my polo underneath it. What was wrong with him? Did he just like get up on the stool and not have time to adjust himself before the director was like, go? Because he's like, that explains why he looks like he's constipated when he's playing guitar. No, for real. I've said this forever. Like when he plays, he's actually like he's hurting himself. I'm like, someone stop him. Like he's this man's in pain. Can you, Juan, I'm sorry. Can you just play the very beginning of that again? Because it's funny. Dude, that was funny. Listen, it's like he just got on the stool.
Friends, fans, and the press have asked me who I'm supporting in this most important of elections. And with full knowledge of my opinions, no more.
But hey, don't you believe him? Because he's in a flannel. What is on his finger? Is that a gold nugget too? Or is that just a weird, what is that? What is with the gold nugget trend with dudes? Look, he's got his Bass Pro jacket. I actually do. Those flannels are comfy, I got to say. But he's like, he's the everyman. But look, he's got a white polo underneath. He just threw that jacket on. I'm in a diner. Look, it's an American flag that's artfully placed here. Look, the blinds, nicotine colored. I mean, come on, you know. Yeah, is it a green screen? I don't know. Does that make you trust him more or less? What if he was doing that same video in his big swanky mansion? Would you trust him more or less? Because you know he ain't ever, I mean, ain't ever eaten in that diner. You know that. Come on. If it even is there. I don't know. But then we don't have time for 14 though, do we? No. We have more celebrity commentary coming up. And we also have the latest with Hurricane Helene efforts and FEMA. And Mayorkas, why is he there still? Stay with us. If your approach to everyday aches and pains is to mask them, you know, feel better for a few hours or only have the pain return and then repeat the cycle all over again, it's time to try Relief Factor. And the good news is that Relief Factor makes that easy. Their three-week quick start is just $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Instead of masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it. It's a unique formula of ingredients that helps support your body's response to inflammation. And Relief Factor was developed by doctors. It's 100% drug-free, and for so many people, the results are game-changing, even life-changing. Chris, my husband, raves about Relief Factor. So whether you're a cyclist, a hiker, you know, an athlete from your college days or high school, maybe you're just active now, Relief Factor supports inflammation reduction and joint health. Try it today. Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. See in how just a few weeks or even days, Relief Factor can reduce your pain. And then you feel better, and then life is just better. So don't mask pain. Fight it naturally with Relief Factor. Welcome back to the program. Top of the second hour, Dana Loesch with you this Friday. I just saw a thing that was like 10 minutes ago from Elon Musk, who said that he got this note from a SpaceX engineer helping on the ground in North Carolina. And the engineer said that FEMA is like not just merely failing to adequately help people, but it was legitimately blocking people who tried. He actually just put this up literally like 8 minutes ago. And he said in the note, it said, quote, "Hey, Elon, update here on the site of Asheville. We've powered up two large operating bases for choppers to deliver goods into hands, and we've deployed 300 plus Starlinks and outpour. It has saved many lives. The big issue is FEMA actively blocking shipments and seizing goods and services locally and locking them away to state that they're their own." He says it's real and scary how much control they've taken to stop from. I mean, I keep hearing back and forth reports on that. The thing is I wouldn't be surprised, because that's kind of how Biden and Democrats have viewed this. They always believe that you cannot be helped without the government. And if you have, you know, all of these amazing stories of people who are being helped by the, you know, the good old rednecks with their ingenuity and know-how, and the religious folks that are showing up with supplies and help and paying for hotel rooms and all this stuff. If you have all of these people stepping up, you're reducing the loophole that government has to wiggle through to exploit a problem to enrich and enlarge in itself and to seize further control. That's why one of the reasons why they don't like, for instance, upward economic mobility. They don't like it when people can get themselves out of a situation with the help of other private individuals. But that's how it's always been. That's how it's supposed to be, by the way. That is how it is supposed to be. I mean, if you can't get down there, if I can't get down there, I'll sure as heck send money to people who are down there, because they're going to be immediately knowing what they have to get and, you know, how much of it they need, more so than me looking on Amazon trying to figure out how I'm going to send something that probably can't get there on an impassable road anyway. So it's the average people stepping up to assist with all of this. And I'm not surprised that I haven't read anything about stuff being seized. I wouldn't be honestly surprised about it. I haven't really seen a lot about that. Have you, Kane? No. The seizing of stuff?
No, but I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, because we've seen it happen in the past, and people are experiencing some of that behavior right now, right, with some of the rescue efforts. So I wouldn't be surprised to hear that.
But we were told that, you know, FEMA is, you know, super helpful, and that, well, I mean, this is a flashback, Audio Soundbite 6, Mayorkas, that they're tremendously prepared. Guys, check this out.
FEMA is tremendously prepared. This is what we do. This is what they do. And the key here, Rebecca, is also to make sure that the communities who are potentially impacted are prepared as well. And it's not...
Well, yeah, that's not happening, though. Not at all. There's more, though. There's more. Because Audio Soundbite 4, this is what it is now. Oh, imagine this. Listen.
We are meeting the immediate needs with the money that we have. We are expecting another hurricane hitting. We do not have the funds. FEMA does not have the funds to make it through the season.
How? How do they not have the funds to make it through the season? I don't know. Maybe because of Audio Soundbite, I don't know, 5?
FEMA is providing emergency food and shelter program funds to help cities around the country recover or defray the costs of non-citizen arrivals. CBP and ICE are working closely with cities to share information and coordinate the disposition of non-citizens in immigration enforcement.
Wow. Now, we have more for you, because here was Mayorkas talking at the time with Kyrsten Sinema about how to spend over $500 million taken from FEMA just earlier this year for people who illegally entered the country. This is Audio Soundbite 7. Listen.
As you know, Secretary, I helped secure $650 million in fiscal year 2024 for the CBP Shelter Services Program to limit the financial burden on local communities. I was pleased to see the notice of funding opportunity published last week that gave Arizona its fair share of the money available. As you know, this money has come quite late. We were just days away from Pima County seizing all activities to process and manage migrants. So what steps is DHS going to take to ensure that additional funds are distributed and that we don't find ourselves in this critical situation in Pima County once again?
We announced with the first distribution last week, we also announced a competitive process for the second tranche of funds under the Shelter and Services Program. We are going to receive applications for it from existing recipients, as well as those who are first-time applicants. And we are very focused on getting the dollars out the door as quickly as possible, as fairly as possible.
Imagine that. Oh, are they, though? Do you really believe all of that? All of that? I mean, the FEMA is, it's federal emergency response, creating an emergency. By the way, acknowledging that you have to use emergency response money for the problem at the border is affirming that it is an emergency at the border. You realize this, right? I mean, they can deny it. They've tried to. You guys know, for the past couple of years, they've tried to say, no, that's not an emergency. It's just, you know, a little hiccup, little problem. Come on. I mean, I just read these stories. People are like, we need rescue. They've been begging FEMA officials for supplies. They were begging for oxygen. They said that we need rescue. I mean, the fatality rates are increasing. And I don't even know where Biden is. He did 7 days later, he went and he visited. Bush got criticized. And I'm not a fan of, like, a giant stan of George W. Bush, but he waited 3 days so that he didn't hinder recovery efforts following Katrina, because wherever the president goes, there is a radius around him, air or ground, where it's shut down, airspace is shut down. he did not want to disrupt any kind of air traffic related to supply and rescue. And he didn't want to, and so he waited 3 days. Biden waited 7. Nobody's saying anything. Biden was literally on the beach last weekend. He was on the damn beach last weekend while people were being swept off the rooftops of their homes. He couldn't even remember what storm they were talking about when he was asked about it. Audio soundbite one. We played it once, but you got to hear it again.
What do the states in the storm zone need, Mr. President?
Sorry?
What do the states in the storm zone, what do they need after what you saw today?
Oh, in the storm zone?
Yes, sir.
I'm wondering what storm you're talking about. They're getting everything they need.
Was a video. I didn't want to play the interview because it's, I mean, everybody will cry and we can't do the show. But there was an interview of a mother who was the mother of one of these little six-year-olds. It was the last photograph taken of him. He was on the rooftop with his grandparents and the water was rushing in quick. And they were trying to get to safety and they couldn't get rescued in time. And he was swept away by the flood water. And they said that as he was being swept away, and the mother said in the interview that the reason she actually, you know, she's devastated by this, it's a loss, but she said there, she feels at peace because he was, she said he was yelling for Jesus as he was swept away in the water. And that he was praying very loudly on the roof. And then he was yelling for Jesus as he was swept away. And, you know, her heart's breaking, but she said that it comforted her to know that it wasn't a scream of fear and it wasn't, I want my mommy. It was he was saying that at 6 years old. And so she said that she's taking some solace. She could barely get through the interview, understandably. She said that she was taking some solace from that. And I thought that was incredibly powerful. And by the way, that happened while Joe Biden was on the beach. Now, I'm not saying that I expected Joe Biden with his little, you know, skinny chicken legs to, you know, halo drop from the sky and go in and rescue people with his own arms, but maybe have FEMA ready to go when you know it's coming and not waiting days later. Maybe don't stop people from going to help rescue other individuals because you are so hell-bent on making this an example of only the federal government being able to help. That's murderous. When political ambition gets to this level, it's murderous. Just, I don't know. Do you believe him when he says this? Audio soundbite three. He's in Georgia and he's trying to assuage the mourning there. Listen to this.
A couple months ago, Hurricane Debbie did the same thing. Three in a row. You've been through hell. Three in a row. And I want you to know, I see you, I hear you, I grieve with you, and I promise you we have your back. We're going to stay until you're restored.
You don't believe that, do you? I don't know. I don't think I believe that. That's what's so heartbreaking, because it is preventable. It's preventable. Audio soundbite 11. This is a Florida State Guard member who is blasting everybody from the federal government to North Carolina. Listen to this. Understandable frustration here.
And you're ticked off because you don't see the support down there on behalf of the government. Tell me what you've experienced. What's your story?
We're looking for like SOS carbon mud. That's how we found the 87-year-old woman that was about to run out of oxygen. But there's just a complete failure of weak leadership here in North Carolina, the federal government. And it takes my strong leadership in Florida to send us up here. If it wasn't for DeSantis sending the State Guard special missions unit up here, this never even would have happened. But there's just no support here. There's no leadership. When we meet these locals on the ground, they're asking like, oh, you're from the State Guard? And I'm like, oh, I'm from Florida. And they're like, where's North Carolina?
I've been hearing this because we got a lot of listeners around the country. And I've been hearing this from so many people who are saying, this is what our family's saying. This is what our family's saying. This is what we're hearing. And, you know, all of this stuff, this is, you know, it's, I don't want to believe that it's true because I just can't, it bothers me to see such a malaise and laziness with elected officials that you see this coming and you just, of course, this is, you know, this is Roy Cooper. Roy Cooper, Democrat governor, Roy Cooper. There's the difference right now. You heard Florida Governor Ron DeSantis saying he's sending resources for bridges. He's sending literal bridges to North Carolina. Where's the Democrat governor of North Carolina? Maybe people in an election year when you're in a battleground state will look at the difference in leadership and realize you cannot play around with literal lives and you need better leadership. You need a better governor. You need a better ideology in charge. I hope people remember that November. We got a lot more on the way.
Hi, I'm Lillian, an English major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arnn with a Constitution Minute.
America's founders believed in a separation of church and state, in that the country was not to have an official religion or an official sect. But that did not mean that government was to be hostile to religion, or even indifferent to religion, as many today argue. In fact, America's founding document, the Declaration of Independence, includes both a reference to God as the author of the laws of nature and a confident assertion that human beings are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Far from being hostile or indifferent to religion, America's founders understood the theology of the Declaration to be an essential part of the education of citizens.
To learn more and get a free pocket constitution, visit constitutionminute.com.
This Constitution Minute was furnished by Hillsdale College.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So that big giant house that always appears in them cleaning commercials when they talk about, you know, how much stuff this stuff that can get cleaned. What is it, like Pledge or something like that? The iconic Biltmore Estate, largest private house in the United States, apparently was badly damaged by Hurricane Helene. The 129-year-old estate is a waterlogged disaster zone, 8,000-acre estate in Asheville. And it's a historic house museum and tourist attraction. It was built by George Vanderbilt in 1895. It's been in all kinds of stuff, movies, and they've now are cleaning up the debris. There's been a lot of stuff that's happened. I mean, the whole town is just, you know, good night. But it's been a tourist hotspot for a long time, but they're working hard at cleaning it up. Waterlogged, gosh, I don't even want to think about what that costs in terms of insurance and everything else. 40% of Americans plan to retire with $1 million or more, but it's not going to be enough in this Biden economy, which is absolutely insane. That's a millionaire is not like the same thing as it was 20 years ago. Just isn't. 16% of retirees say they have more than $1 million saved, but that's not going to be enough. They said, in fact, those currently saving for retirement, 57%, say that the hope they're amounting, that the amount that they're hoping to save is actually less than $1 million. And they're trying to figure out if folks think that they're being, people are trying to figure out if they're being unrealistic or if they think it's going to get better or maybe they can get by on less. But, you know, it is a little difficult to think of, you know, retirement planning because you don't know, you know, how far something's going to go in the future. But man alive, this administration and making it easier. Let's see, the Meta smart glasses, apparently they can instantly find strangers' names and addresses. So if you want to wear those goofy glasses, the smart glasses, apparently Harvard students have been revealing that they can instantly find out everything about strangers. That's creepy. Oh, I don't like that at all. I mean, I didn't like how they look anyway. When I wear glasses, I have to wear reading glasses sometimes. And, you know, that's why I'm doing it right now. But, man, I wouldn't want to wear those big things if I didn't have to. You know what I mean? Because it's like, it hurts your face after a while. And then it's like, it leaves marks in your face. And it's just, then you got to clean them and then they're expensive. And that's weird. That's creepy. It's like stalker stuff. Let's see. Another Boeing plane with 200 people on board catches fire before takeoff. Oh, you know, women are likely to buy wine with feminine labels, according to researchers. I could do a whole thing on this. A, that's not true. I particularly purchased a wine brand because it had a werewolf on the label. Thank you very much. So that's a lie. This study's a lie. Stay with us. And ReadyWise, this is, it's just great premium survival food. And it doesn't, it's just, some of the survival food out there is nasty. And I kind of question the quality. I do not with ReadyWise. And here's why. Premium ingredients, premium survival food. You know the chain of command. You're supporting U.S. agriculture and U.S. jobs because these are U.S. ingredients packed in a U.S. plant, sent out from this U.S. plant right to your doorstep. and you know exactly where your food's coming from. You're not compromising on quality or flavor, and you're going to be set for whatever nature or politics or whatever else throws your way. You have two offers right now. You've got the 72-hour food kit. That's buy one, get one. So it's $100 values normally. Now it's half. It's $50. Two boxes, 12 pouches of premium survival food. And you get all of your three hots, your snacks, drinks, everything. And you get, like, it packs a lot of calories. You've got, I think with every bag, each serving pack is 260 calories, 6 grams of protein, 20% of your daily carbs, which is important when you're in survival mode. Comfort in a crisis. And it has a 25-year shelf life as well. You can also use promo code DANA20 at checkout for 20% off any regularly priced item. Visit ReadyWise.com. Use promo code DANA20 at checkout. 20% off any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. You can also find us channel 347 Direct TV as well as Rumble, where the chat is, X, and Facebook too. So very interesting. The I'm glad to, and I we've got clips up of the of our interview with DeSantis. There were two things that I didn't realize the extent of. Number one, I did not realize that before he issued the threat to the to Harold Daggett, to the longshoreman's boss, that he had already established alternative shipping routes to Florida to offset and bypass where everybody else was striking when he threatened to send in the guard to handle the ports during a time of emergency. I didn't know that until he told me that in just that interview. The second thing is I didn't realize how widespread and aggressive his election supervising efforts are to make sure that people in the areas that have been really hard hit by the hurricane can get out and can speak and or and can vote and make sure that their votes count and to help with if they have to do early voting or mail-in voting, wherever it can be done. Where the hell is Roy Cooper? Well, Roy Cooper's a Democrat. I mean, heaven forbid, you don't want them Republicans in North Carolina casting them votes. So we don't need those bridges. So Florida's sending actual bridges to North Carolina. Well, make sure your folks can get out and vote. He's like the president of the SEC. Isn't that what people are saying? He's the DeSantis is the president of the SEC. I think that's maybe why I don't think him and Cooper get along. I mean, I think they do at a gubernatorial level. But aside from that, I did not know that, though. I did not know that they had like remapped all around that. I mean, that's pretty. That's like, oh, yeah, you're going to close all this down and hurt everybody. Well, guess what? We're taking over the ports. Time of emergency. We can do that. And we're going to reroute everything to Florida. It might take a little bit, but it's not going to be really any more expensive, and it's still going to be on the East Coast, and we'll just bypass all this nonsense. That was an air traffic control Reagan move.
Yeah,
it really was. I didn't know that. I was learning that when you guys did. I didn't hear that anywhere else. It's fascinating. I mean, that's I'm just telling you that's incredibly important. The voting does concern me. So I'm glad that he's doing that in Florida, but I don't see other governors making those efforts, especially Roy Cooper in North Carolina. I mean, and the reason I keep bringing this up is because I'm just amazed at the utter destruction. How you're in the middle of massive hurricane recovery. How are you going to get all of these Republican voters out there? I know Trump is doing an event in, he's going back to Butler, Pennsylvania, right? And I think that's, you know, they want the optic and they want the energy. And I think Pennsylvania is an important, an important state. And so I realize how significant that is. I wish there was a way they could do something similar, maybe in an area that's easily accessible that doesn't hinder any kind of recovery efforts. Like in some of these ravaged areas. I know he's been down there. Didn't he tour like some parts of it? But if there was a way where they could do like a drive or a rally, they also need to, can I be real? You need, where are all of these third party groups that the RNC has been contracting with? This is, again, me looking at this. Now don't hate me. I get very clinical when I look at this stuff because I like to win. Maybe we should be doing some voter registration. Why couldn't the RNC, even if they party with the third party group, just get down there to some of these areas. And I don't know, maybe let's get some voter registration happening. Maybe when people are getting supplies in that, we figure out where everybody is and, hey, do you need help getting out to vote? It's just as important so that you don't have to languish without power for weeks on end because you have bad leadership. Let's change that. That's part of a recovery effort as far as I'm concerned. Let's change it. Let's have a database of people we can help in these areas where they can get off and they can get help to go vote. Where's the RNC doing that? I could scream. That's how I'm thinking. You can't clone Scott Pressler. My gosh. Didn't he just uncovered how they were doing, on the day of the rally, they're doing in Butler, oh, yeah, County, Pennsylvania. He found out that they were doing, and first off, two things. Yes, I know that there's, before anybody brings it up to me, I know there's routine maintenance with a lot of these digital voting tabulators. I understand that. However, as he noted, that's usually done like at 3 a.m. when people are sleeping. It's not done at like 6 p.m. when the rally starts, where you can't get people registered and you can't do a voter registration drive there. I mean, that's what's happening. Like they wouldn't be able to do that. He actually came up with it. And when he found that when he was there and they were registering voters. How is it that Scott Pressler found that out and the RNC didn't find that out?
Thank you.
How does Scott Pressler, one dude, find that out, and the RNC didn't? Sometimes I'm like, does the RNC want to win? I'm mad. I'm getting madder because I want them to knock it off because I don't think people realize, and you heard DeSantis say it, in North Carolina, it was 1 point. 1 point. Think about how many voters might be stymied from getting out to vote if they're dealing with major recovery in their area. Or if they can't get out, or if they can't even stay in the area because their homes have been destroyed. Your fatalities are over 200 already, and you have hundreds still missing. Think about that. I mean, it's troubling, and I'm frustrated because I keep hearing all kinds of stuff about the ground game. I keep hearing from people and I keep seeing certain things and it makes me nervous. And I don't like to be nervous 4 weeks out from an election because it's way too close. I saw this, speaking of headlines, I keep seeing Waltz misspoke. This is the latest from Politico. Waltz says he speaks like everyone else. His misspeaking problem is not working for Harris's campaign. Kane, what's quicker to say, misspeaking problem or lie?
That lie. Yeah, lie.
Why do we have to do this whole Rube Goldberg thing with...
Yeah, he's just a knucklehead. That's all.
That's also like a long word for liar, if I'm being honest about it. That's also a long word for liar. Just saying. I don't know. North Carolina, by the way, speaking of North Carolina, I was looking at their surveys. They are tied. There's two polls. He's tied right now. Let's see. I'll go down here. Yeah, it's a tie. It is an absolute tie right now. Looking at the the RCP average has Trump plus 0.6. Again, margin of error is 3.5. They're tied. So, again, where's all the, oh my gosh, the ads I'd be running right now. Lorraine makes that point. Trump hands out supplies and hugs people. Kamala is at a big ritzy fundraiser in Vegas. Biden's literally sleeping on the beach with his mouth open, head back. I mean, it says it for itself, right? Says it for itself. But he's tied. Tied in North Carolina. So the Michigan has in plus one, still technically tied within margin of error. The race is being described by everybody, pretty much RCP, 538, everything, as a tie. I actually don't think that that's a lie. Do I think it's winnable? Of course I absolutely do. But this is going to make you frustrated. It's the Republicans to lose. House Republican members need to be going out right now and coming up with their plan to get Mayorkas out. I don't care what they have to do. I know that here's the hard part. They're in recess right now. When do they go back? Like November? They're back in, they're in their home districts until November. They need to be holding events, press conferences, making videos about how they, here's our plan. I know they all have their phone calls. They all have conference calls. Here's their plan to go after and restructure until they can eliminate it because this doesn't do anything. DHS, restructure it, get Mayorkas out there, and let's have an audit of FEMA. Although we know where the money's going. And they're the power of the purse. Don't fund it, anything that is not going to be accountable to citizens and that is not prioritizing citizens and that is spending taxpayer dollars on anything but citizens and people who are here legally, who are following the laws. That's it. They need to be doing that and helping out on that end. Here's why. Cook Political has just shifted 5 House races towards Democrats. I told you that was coming. It's going to be tight. I'm more worried about keeping the House than anything else. I know that some people get so frustrated when I say that, but they can literally control the power of the purse. They could shut down government and not do anything. All the power's there. When it's so close, they've shifted 5 House races because Democrats are making momentum in the Midwest. So you got 2 Iowa races that have moved into toss-up because the polls have been so close. 1 Republican, Marionette Miller Meeks, and then Zach Nunn. Miller Meeks has been described as a uniquely weak incumbent. They joined 25 toss-up races across the country. Cook is pretty established. Now, in Illinois and Indiana, they have gone from lean blue to likely blue, meaning polling is showing significant momentum towards 2 particular Democrat candidates. One is an incumbent, and they are both going to win their districts. Then you've got Ryan Zink in Montana, 1st Congressional District. That softened from likely to lean. His challenger came very, very close to an upset in the midterms. He's got more money than she does, this Monica Tranel. But the race is tighter, and I'm hearing the internals show it pretty tight. And they need that because they got to defend John Tester. The Democrats need that. If Democrats pick up that seat, that shows a good sign for Tester. He's the Senate there and he's in a vulnerable race. So you've got, this is after they shifted 6 House races towards Democrats and 2 towards Republicans in the last month. The GOP has such a tiny hold. Do you know how many seats Democrats have to take just to get the majority this fall? 4 seats. Now you tell me, I want you to, you heard what DeSantis said, 4 seats. I know everyone's focused on the presidency and I'm not saying that that's not important. Please don't mistake me and let's not make silly assumptions. But if you win the White House and you lose the House, you realize that, and you still have a slim margin in the Senate, Trump will not have veto power. And Democrats will control the power of the purse. We cannot lose the House. That to me is supreme. All they have to have is 4 seats. Because here's what comes through the House. The taxes. The continual funding for IRS. The funding for Ukraine. All spending bills originate in the House. All of it. Anything that doesn't is not constitutional. What is it? Blue slipped and sent back. 4 seats. And of them, there's more that have been shifted to toss up, which increases their odds. That is nerve wracking to me. So this is incredibly important. And this is something we really have to keep an eye on. That's why I don't care if they're in their home districts now until November. All these Republicans got to get out here and be like, this is what we're going to do for FEMA. This is what we're going to do. Let the president run. Let the president run his race. Let the governors do what they're doing. But you need these House members out there on this line, on this front, where they can do this work and bring the thunder. This is what we're going to do. Here's our plan. Here's it. Well, I don't care how rudimentary it looks. Put it up on, get something that you can shove in front of people's faces, and then get some damn voter registration down in some of these areas that have been ravaged, so that when people are getting supplies, you can still make sure that they can get out and vote, so they don't have this horrible leadership that keeps them in the dark without water and nobody able to get supplies because of the damn government. We got a Florida man on the way.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Okay. A few things here. Got to touch on. My heavens. So this, I can't believe, we got to look for Florida Man for sanity. Can I just point out how insane that is? Like, that's our, we got to look to Florida Man for insanity or for sanity. Let's see. First headline that we got here for you. This is a Florida man led law enforcement on one of the slowest chases in county history. All right. So how did this work out? This man was, it was a routine traffic stop, and it went into a low speed chase, and they had to use the stop sticks. So this dude, it started on September 25th. Kyle McNary kicked a passenger out of a black Kia Sorento at an intersection. And apparently he's got a history of like attacking deputy sheriffs and things like that. And, he stopped to switch plates with his passenger, and when he ran in, and then he ran into the street waving at passing cars. The passenger attempted to take the driver's seat. McNary kicked him out, sped off, left him on the roadside, and then he was involved in a hit and run four miles away, and it seriously injured somebody. So then he was driving very, 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 very slowly on a very, very, I mean, what is he going, like 5 miles per hour? Is it even that? I mean, they did get him, and then his SUV got stuck in a ditch, so he was taken into custody. A Florida man was arrested for sleeping on a Walmart roof with a gun in his hand. Fort Myers, Cape Coral dude, deputies found him sleeping, you know, just regularly on the roof of a Fort Myers Walmart with a gun in his hand. Daniel Rios, 30, is facing charges of trespassing. Somebody saw him somehow, and he's just taking a nap, got a revolver in his hand. He said he was on the roof to ride out the storm. That's some Forrest Gump stuff. Like, what in the world? I went up, what is he going to shoot at it? Like, took my revolver up there. I'm just going to ride it out, you know. All right, stay with us. We got a lot more in store as we go through our third hour next. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the top of this third hour. And always good to be with you. You can find us, Channel 347 DirecTV, if you're not watching us or listening to us terrestrially. And you can also find us, YouTube, Facebook, all that good stuff. So, did Liz Cheney hit her head?
A long time ago.
I don't get this. Can you play 12 for me? I really don't get this. This is weird.
I know that President Harris will be able to unite this nation.
In misery?
I know that she will be a president who will defend the rule of law. And I know that she will be a president who can inspire all of our children, and if I might say so, especially our little girls.
Like, why? Well, because she's got a vagina. That's why. And that's what women, like, women are only inspired if it's another woman because they're real dumb, you know? That's what I hear when I hear that kind of stuff. Does that going to make, I just don't understand why Liz Cheney would endorse Harris. I get it if you don't like a particular politician, but you're not, and you're not putting a stamp of approval on their life or how they live or etc. You're voting to advance your interests. They're a vessel. They're a piece on the board that you can push forward to advance your interest. You're not saying that you're going to be best friends with them. You're not saying that you're going to petition to have them formally adopt you. That's not what's happening. You're advancing your interest. Doesn't make any sense. Can I just make fun of Bruce Springsteen one more time? Because the way that he sits up, the way he starts this video and this weird endorsement is so beyond.
Friends, fans, and the press have asked me who I'm supporting in this most important of elections.
See, he's the everyman. Is that a gold? Now, I asked this last hour. Is that a gold nugget on his finger? I don't like it unless it's like a 70s style gold nug. I'm not into like costume jewelry rings on men. especially when you're wearing a flannel. Like, I've got all confusion here, right? What is that? I can't see. Like, zoom in on it, Kane. Can you zoom in? What is it? I don't even know what it is. It's a nugget, isn't it? Him and Daggett splitting nuggets? And they making rings? Is that the one ring to rule them all? Like, what is that?
It's his liberal Achi starter kit.
I don't know, man. Scott Jennings on CNN said this in response to Springsteen. Listen.
A couple things. A, I can't think of anything I care about less than some moron celebrity. B, we got Hulk Hogan, and that's all I need.
Okay, you call him a moron celebrity. Hulk Hogan can rip his own shirt. He's performed 80 concerts in Pennsylvania.
I don't think no celebrity has ever made me reconsider anybody. Does it, I mean, on the right or left, does it really work? I think maybe for people in the middle who don't watch anything and don't pay attention, they don't do their due diligence. I'll say it if nobody else will, because you don't. Does that actually work? Like, if they're like, well, I didn't know I was going to vote this way until I saw, you know, this celebrity come out, until I saw Bruce Springsteen.
I think that there are some people that can be influenced one way or the other. They're on a fence of some sort. But I think that it's a weak attempt by political parties to try and relate culturally. And I think they miss the mark quite a bit on that.
You think?
Yes.
A lot.
That's why I said it.
A lot on that. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I just don't think that that's I mean, I just can't believe that actually works to convince people. If I hear someone say, I didn't know where I was until Taylor Swift came out, or I don't know where I was until J-Law came out, or until Bruce Springsteen, I just think you are so dumb. I don't even want to know you. I don't want to be seen around you, because what you have, a stupidity so bad, that might be catching. I don't want any part of it. I don't like celebrities telling me, even if it's somebody I agree with. I look at a celebrity going, oh yeah, I like who you like. And I go, yeah, it's because you're smart like me. But that's, you know, me. I look at it like that. But I don't ever get excited about it. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. So you have a brain. But I'm never like, I'm so influenced. I feel so affirmed in my choice. I don't care.
So you'd have to explain then how the left has been so successful using celebrity for so many years.
Because they're sheep. Well,
that's what I'm saying. So there are people on the left that do get influenced by that sort of thing. And that was the point I was making.
In a perfect world, I feel like I would ask people, that if I took over how elections ran, I'd be like, well, did you come to this decision on your own, or did you come to this conclusion when you were at a Swift concert? And then depending on what the answer was, you know.
You're like the moderator in Billy Madison. Remember that?
Oh, my gosh.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Yeah.
I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. I feel like him when I hear these people. I don't know where I stand. And then I saw Bruce Springsteen's House all of... I will say, at least he's not being a jackwagon about it. And then you got Sam Elliott. Didn't Sam Elliott go out there? Hold up. You guys remember him? Roadhouse? The movie that my kids say is about dudes with mullets and tight pants doing kicks in bars. They make it sound like the male Rockettes when they talk about it. Sam Elliott, he went out and he had said, be a man and vote for a woman. Okay, be a man and do your own stunts. I don't know. Like, what? I don't want to dislike him. But when he's like, be a man and vote for a woman, I'm like, no. He was in Lincoln Project thing ad. I think there's maybe a better way that you could state it. You know, as long as you're not a jackwagon, it was a salty ad. So because he was kind of a jackwagon about it, I feel like I have the invitation to be a little meaner. I don't want to play it because I don't want to give it attention. But he says, I can't believe we're having this conversation again. And one stands for hate and one stands for courage. And then it says, so you decide, and it's time to be a man and vote for a woman. Or, you know, maybe be a man and STFU. You know, maybe just mind your own damn business. Isn't that what y'all like to say? To actually try to implore someone, be a man and vote for a less qualified woman because she has a vagina, is about one of the weakest beta things I can ever hear. I mean, I had some respect for Sam Elliott. It's greatly diminished. I still like him as an actor, but it's really hard when people do. I don't care if someone has a preference, and I don't care if they talk about their preference, but when they're stupid about it, it's very difficult for me to suspend my disbelief when I watch them in something. Like Samwise Gamgee, for instance, the Sean Astin guy. I can't stand this dude. He blocked me on Twitter. I never even talked to that lunchbox a day in my life. He was the worst part of Lord of the Rings. The best character, because Samwise Gamgee is the actual hero. I'll take everything back to this. I love Tolkien. I love it. He's the real hero of the story. And you got the worst actor playing him. I mean, everybody else had to lift him up in every role. And if it wasn't for the amazing dialogue, thank you to Tolkien. If it wasn't for the amazing dialogue, he'd have fallen on his face even faster. But anyway, he was a jerk about it. He went off on me, and then he blocked me. And I was like, you're such a jerk. I just don't have the ability to suspend my disbelief when I see you now. Now when I see you in a role, even if Lord of the Rings is on TV, I look at you in that light again, and I wish that you fall into the pits of Mordor. I want you to fall into the lava. I want an orc to eat you up. I want all those things to happen. I want Gollum to behead you. That's what I want now. Like, you know what I mean? I can't, when they're that mean. Like Ron Perlman, I haven't blocked him. He follows me, and he follows me just to have a fit all the damn time. Ron Perlman just has a menstrual tantrum all the time. At least once a week at me, he gets mad. And he was in Hellboy. Now I can't even watch Hellboy. I can't, every time I see him, I'm like, oh my gosh, this guy, him. You know what I mean? Just don't be a jerk about it. It's not hard, you know, just don't be a jerk. I don't know. Steve made a comment to me. I want to go back to this because I think this is when I was talking about the nugget ring. Steve, can I read this on what you put in Slack?
Yeah, I'll explain it when you read it.
Okay. Steve goes, I used to wear rings until people thought I was a cheater. What?
And I had one experience. So my best friend makes like coin rings. That's his hobby. He takes like old quarters and makes rings out of them that look real. And it's pretty cool. But then after a while, I used to wear them on my left hand and then my right hand and change fingers. And every time people in public, especially women, thought I was taking it off my ring finger that I was cheating. And then my sister told me that as like a thing. She's like, just don't wear any rings. And I was like, okay.
Interesting. I don't think dudes should be wearing rings either, really. Unless it's like your college ring, maybe. Or you're like in the Super Bowl. Or you were like my Uncle Junior. That literally was what we called him. I don't know his name. I have a cousin that we called Too Tall too. So just don't ask me. It's a Southern Missouri thing. I don't even know. That's normal that people have cousins called Too Tall, right? Anyway, Uncle Junior. And he wore, I wrote about him in one of my books. He wore brown polyester leisure suits. Never saw him in anything but a leisure suit. I think he even wore him to the river, a K-Bridge. And he was in the church choir, and he wore a gold nugget pinky ring. And he had them gold aviators on. He had them gold aviator reading glasses and them gold aviator sunglasses. And I swear when he walked, it was that Ram Jam's Black Betty to the beat, like just like on cue. And I wrote in my book how his wife would play the church organ like within an inch of sin. And that's who, I mean, that's acceptable. If you're going to wear a ring like that and you're like that, your Uncle Junior, you know, like you're in your late 60s, 70s, it is acceptable then. But unless I think it's like a college ring, you know, or your Super Bowl, what are you doing? Or your wedding ring. Wedding, what are you doing? Those are the only three acceptable rings. Those are the only three. Or if you're like Elton John, you know, I would be weird if he didn't have rings on. It's weird. It's Elton John, right? He's like the male original Lady Gaga. Like, what are you doing? Anyway.
Should I put a poll up?
What was that?
Should I put a poll up on X and see if people think that?
No, because there'll be wrong answers.
Oh.
And I don't want to entertain that. I'm not in that mood on that. It's like I would never put up his Green Day acceptable to listen to. There's will be wrong answers, and I just cannot abide that. We can't have that today. So no, that's the order that comes down from on high. So those are the only three rings. But your sister was telling you right. She did you one solid. Where was this going? Oh, we're talking about celebrities, right? And endorsing people. I don't know. I just think that if you're at the point where you don't know what you're going to do with your life unless a celebrity tells you, you need an intervention and a brain. Maybe. I don't know. Just can't with this. This is so crazy. So crazy. So this Where to go? I know we got headlines. There's a couple of places I want to go. One of them, I don't know, we got some culture stuff for you, but we also have the FEMA fallout continuing. And we were talking about some polling. I'm going to put that link up. Actually, I'm thinking about making it a separate standalone piece. I have one piece I've been working on that's not going to come out till next week. We got some culture stuff that'll be coming out for you shortly. This, I think I'm going to do a whole separate thing on polling as we go towards, get closer and closer towards election.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Monday is the one-year observance of the terror attack on Israel, October 7th, which you still have American hostages also that are gone. DHS, of course, is warning of risks around October 7th. Of course they are. And they're also trying to say that, oh, it's a new report and, you know, these probably maybe have like some risks around, you know, election and stuff too. Well, then stop it. Make it stop without making it harder for everybody to vote or easier for people who have no ID to vote. There you go. I would want to do something like this. Okay, I want to do the full body scan, and Chris is like, I am absolutely not going to do it. I like to know absolutely everything and get in there, as you guys know, because I'm crazy about health. But now I think I may do this too. It's a simple cheek swab that could accurately predict how long you'll live. Do you want to know how long you live? Like, if you, that's one thing I would say. Like, if someone was like, I can tell you exactly how long you'll live, I don't know that I would want to know that.
I think I would, because then I'd find a way to manipulate it to make it not
come
true.
Oh, no. You just said you would become a biohacker.
Did I say those words
yes,
that I
you
didn't
did.
Say?
My That's gosh. Exactly what that means.
I had no idea.
Just
said
like you
words.
Don't like old people, now you're going to be a biohacker. What in the world?
This isn't fair.
Oh, it's called Cheek Age. That sounds bad. It's a that's their product. Would you like some Cheek Age? No, thank you. Like, what's that? I don't even know. But they said that it assessed health risks and they develop anti-aging interventions. I would do a body scan to find out like anything that was wrong with me. And I would totally do that. But if they were like, by the way, we can tell you exactly how long you live. I don't think I'd be like, I'm not into that. I don't want to know. I want there to be some unknown. You know what I mean? I don't know. My husband doesn't want to know anything. I don't get those people. I don't understand that. A man was accused of sneaking a shotgun shell filled with meth into the Philly airport. I mean, you can't take anything that's bullet shaped in there. I got so much trouble from TSA for a pin that was in a shotgun shell that I took all... Sorry, guys. I'm so sorry. I took all my tampons out of the box and I was like, these are all bullet shaped too. Let me know if you want to confiscate any one of those because I was done with it. Anyway... A man from Columbia County, Pennsylvania, got arrested at Philly Airport. He put meth because he thought that would make it through. No, it's not gunpowder. It's not primer. It's not shells. It's not buckshot. It's not birdshot. It's just meth. So there's nothing in there. It's just the meth. He actually thought that that would work. Surprise, they caught it and it didn't work. Stay with us. We got more.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you at the bottom of this third hour. We're going to get into some of the latest with FEMA and, of course, the election and everything else. I got to ask you, though, first up, have you guys watched that documentary? It's like from the people who did Tiger King. And it's called Chimp Crazy?
No.
Okay.
What?
Yeah. So, Kane, we're both from Missouri. Well, you're in Illinois, so you're like Missouri.
No, I
Missouri
actually was born in Missouri, lived there for most of my life, but yeah.
Okay, yeah. So, I was watching this thing because my hairstylist was telling me about it. She was like, have you seen Chimp Crazy? Oh my gosh, and going on and on. And I was like, what? No, I haven't seen it. And then I realized on Facebook, all the people who lived in, because we still have a lot of family in Festus, everyone was like, Festus is finally on the map. And you know, everybody was going on it. And I realized, oh my gosh, this is set in the town where I was born, where a lot of our families still live. And I'm like, what in the world is that? And it has to do with this. And they turned it into what like was like a foundation for chimps, but it was people who were like, you know, they were an animal broker, exotic animal brokers, and PETA got involved, and I was reading over this and it hit my mind. Now, I've told you guys this story before, but I've never had to tell it like this because it is related to this. So when I was a little bitty kid, we lived in a little town not far from Festus. It was like a mile out, called Hematite. Very tiny, little bitty, rural, very rural area. And up the holler, up the hill, were a very nice older couple. To me, they were elderly. But when you're like 4 years old, you know, 5 years old, anybody who's over 50 looks elderly, right? And they had grown kids. Their kids were grown. And one of their kids married into this family that dealt with exotic animals, right? And my mom had to work. And there for like a period of a week one summer, this elderly couple babysat me. And they had a beautiful property. It was like all this sprawling farmland and this old farmhouse. And they had a pond. It was beautiful. It was one of the most beautiful places. And that week I was going to go up there and they were going to babysit me while my mom worked, because the person who would normally help couldn't. And it just happened at that time that this elderly couple, remember I told you one of their kids married into this family that dealt with exotic animals, that their kid and their spouse, and I can't remember if it was the son or daughter, were going on vacation, and they had chimps and they treated them like kids. Like they had beds, they dressed them up. I think they had like two. And one of them was a boy, and it was a juvenile. It was very young, and it was still, I mean, it was in a diaper, but it was very young. The wife of the old lady that walked down the hill had like picked him up at one point. But, you know, I was a tiny 5 year old. I wore toddler clothes, so we were kind of about the same size. So anyway, she was like, well, she tells my mom that, well, we're going to be babysitting this chimp too. Just, you know, FYI, let you know. Just want you to be aware. And my mom's like, okay. And I was real excited. Because I'm like, oh my gosh, it's an actual monkey. I've never been around chimpanzee before. It's this, I mean, what's that do to like a little bitty kid's mind, right? I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to wear my red cowboy boots and we are going to have fun. And you know those little bugles chips, the little pointed chips that you would put on your fingers and, you know. I packed a little baggie for me and I packed a little baggie for the chimp, right? I was like, we are going to be like best friends because they're so close to being kind of like us. Like, we're going to be best friends. So anyway, go out that morning. Meet them at the edge of my driveway because she walks down with this little chimp and he's little, he's in overalls. And I was like, we're gonna be friends, so exciting. And I gave the monkey, the chimp, a bag of bugles, and I thought it would be normal, like it opened them up. I didn't expect it to verbalize like thank you, but you know, I didn't expect for it to go and then smash it and like throw it and then shove me. And I was wearing my cowboy boots, got mud on my damn cowboy boots, and I was livid. Like, we are already starting off on the wrong foot, monkey. This is bad. So go up to the, and if for all week, it was war. It was open war between me and this chimp. It would pinch me. It was so mean. And it was like, not like it was being, I'm experimenting with boundaries. Like, oh, I'm going to hurt you. It was like mean. And it would touch, like put its hand in its diaper and then try to like touch you with it. It was so gross. And I would try to, I'd have to lay down and take a nap. And I remember it was like the telltale heart, you know, at that one point when the character, the light of the door opens and there's a sliver on the eye. And I'm like laying there taking a nap and I see this chimp, you know, thump, 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 come up. And it's like right there in the crack of the door. I couldn't go to sleep because I didn't know if it was going to come and like pinch me or do whatever. Well, one day I had it. And this thing pinched me and I hauled off and I slapped that damn thing so hard with everything that I had. I slapped it. It was the pimpest slap of all pimp slaps. And I got in trouble for it and I was so mad. Well, anyway, I never saw that monkey again. And it was just one of those things that you file away. Like, this is something weird that happened, you know, when I was a kid. I slapped a chimp. Here it is. And I got in trouble and I was mad because I got in trouble. It didn't make me nervous until I got older and I realized, oh my gosh, wow, if that had been like an older chimp, that thing could have killed me. And I didn't realize any potential danger. My mom was, you know, not happy about it, obviously. Well, it comes out, apparently this is the family that had the chimpanzees. Not the people that babysat me, but apparently like their kid like married into them or something. Wow. And I mean, I don't know. I've never met, you know. The Tanya Haddix lady, and I never met what is her name, the Casey lady, but yeah, they're like famous. Wow. In our town. And I texted my mom and I was like, so what's up with this? And my mom knew like the whole life story. Like, yeah, everybody knows Tanya. Everybody knows. I mean, that's how it is like in those towns, you know, everybody knows everybody. And I got like the full, it was hysterical, but I could not believe that. And I started watching it. And I watched the first episode last night. And man, I don't know. It's weird, dude. I could not. My perspective of them is forever tainted because of that experience. But I don't know. Like, I don't want anything that can throw feces, like living in my house. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like that has that choice and makes it. Like, yeah, I could. I shouldn't, but I'm doing it. You know, like, I don't want that in my house. I don't know. I had to tell you guys this because I didn't realize, like, PETA had been involved. And I didn't realize Alan Cummings, the actor, had been involved. And I do feel bad for them because I thought their enclosures were a little bare. And I do feel like these crazy people love them in their own way. So you're almost torn in a way. But they deserve way better treatment. And you guys know I'm not a big fan of that kind of captivity. But it's very interesting. But yeah, I knew exactly where that was. And my hairdresser was talking to me about this. And she was like, so wait, you mean to tell me that in Festus, Missouri, there's literally a store where you can get chimpanzees on the side of the road? I'm like, yeah, you can pretty much do anything in Missouri. Moonshine's in our constitution. She's like, what? But Kane, it's true, right? You want fireworks, you want liquor, moonshine, it's and true. A chimp. Go do it.
Yeah, you can open carry and everything.
God bless America. Oh my gosh. Missouri is endearing. You know, people don't know. Those are the type of people that you want. You've got a hurricane tearing up your area. I'm just saying. Those are the kind of people that all of a sudden, like talking about Hurricane Helene, there's a guy we have a mutual friend and he's on Facebook and I don't want to add him or anything, but he's like, I'm from the city. He's like, my family, you know, we moved out here in this rural area and I was in high school. And he's like, I never really appreciated, you know, all the redneck ingenuity. He's like, I knew that these, you know, they're good people and they will give you the shirt off their back. He's like, but I didn't realize all the implements they had when something like this hits. And so he's like, my gosh, like you got a landslide. There's like a landslide in his area and they had flooding. And he was like, all of a sudden they got all this inflatable stuff and they got all kinds of everything and cheap. I mean, he's like, I didn't even realize that they had all of these, all this equipment. And he's like, and if they didn't have it, they literally made it. They just like fabricated it together, like, you know, MacGyver. And he was in awe because he said they already had their road cleaned up and they rescued a bunch of people. And then they went a couple hours south and he was like telling everything his neighbors were doing. And he was like, he goes, I want to be a redneck now. And he's like, the only thing I can do right now is a girl mullet. I don't know what else to do. He's like, but I'm going to start there and I'm going to get a four wheeler. And he was like going on down the line. But think about it, though. Kane made this point, too. Where was the thing that you put? And I read this. It said things that the people who were talking about what helped them survive the hurricane. And it wasn't electric cars and it wasn't their electric appliances and it wasn't Apple Pay and it wasn't, you know, diversity. Their DEI. It wasn't DEI. It was gas, machinery, gas, cash. Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah.
That's what runs the chainsaws also.
Gas. That's how you can cook your food. They're like, we wouldn't be able to cook our food if we didn't have gas stoves.
That's how you get
electric
hot water.
Stoves. I'm going to sound like my granny for a minute. They're of the devil. Electric stoves are of the devil. They are. They're horrible. They're horrible. Electric stoves. I will literally like negotiate. I actually negotiated when purchasing houses. I was like, if this is an electric stove, I need this off the purchase price because this is the stupidest feature in the house. It's stupid. I've legit walked right out. I'm horrible with this. Gas stove's the only way. Think about it. You wouldn't be able to eat. How are you cooking your food? How are you boiling your water? Right. You know, you sure build a fire out the back. That's all right. But this makes it easier, especially if it's raining, because it still was. Man, I tell you what. But it's that ingenuity. People coming, and all these people showed up for the government. A week before the government. And they just had this stuff. They didn't have to go out and buy nothing. They're like, well, guess I'll go in the shed and get some water. I mean, they like had it all. Do you need help delivering it? Nope, I'm just going to put it up here on the gator. Get it out there. It's just all done. My gosh, that's America. God bless America. I tell you what, some of these other nations out there, they like give us gruff for, I don't know, like American culture. They make fun of rural people and all this. But I'm going to tell you what, those rural people, the first people everybody's reaching out to, because you know that they can survive. They got everything. If they need to live off the land, they can live off the land. They don't need all this other stuff. And they show up. Even when you've criticized them, they still show up. And that's what's so good about them. You know that there are people out there helping neighbors that probably been mean to them. Probably didn't have the type of yard sign that they appreciated in their yard. That didn't matter. They still showed up and did it anyway. Meanwhile, is Biden back on the beach? Where's he at? Anybody know?
Just in the press pool in the White House press briefing.
Uh-oh.
Juan has a little bit of it if
you
boy.
Want to see what's going on. Go ahead, let's see what we got here. Let's see this hot mess.
Hey, folks. My name's Joe Biden.
Welcome, Mr. President.
Welcome to the swimming pool.
Welcome to the swimming pool, not the press pool.
Is he looking for a...
corn pop?
Yeah.
How did I know you were going to go there?
Did they get any questions, by the way, about FEMA allocations? I don't know if you saw this. This was a story a year ago from Politico. New York City got $104.6 million from FEMA for illegal aliens. It didn't go through. It didn't go to immigration judges or helping to detain or deport. It went to, let's see. Oh, yeah. Hotel rooms. It went to, yeah, gift cards, shelter, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Just, you know, FYI. Remember that.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized informative episodes. Perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
And sign up over at Substack, Chapter and Verse, the newsletter where all kinds of good stuff goes out regularly. You don't want to miss it at all. And this is, by the way, Lorraine was saying that the press pool room is apparently on top of the old indoor swimming pool. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I don't think Biden does either, I'm going to be honest. Under W, she says it got renovated and the pool area is now, is under the floor, is for electronics.
So it's literally a press pool.
Well, I mean, it was always called that, but he's like, welcome to the pool room.
The swimming pool.
Yeah. Jeez. I don't know. Does he know? How crazy is it? Because you don't trust him to know. Right. The strike is over. We talked about that. Well, suspended. Till January 15th. Got to go all this again. I feel Harold Daggett is the worst. I think he really thinks highly of himself because he was the worst person you could have sent out with the worst demeanor to try to build any kind of momentum and persuade people to come and support him. And in his efforts, I mean, it didn't help at all when people found out, oh, he's got this, you know, a massive mansion, not just a mansion, but a mansion compound. And he's got a Bentley and he's got a yacht and he walks around with Cartier sunglasses and a Rolex and a diamond chain and gold nuggets and everything else. And then he's out there, I will cripple you. And it just didn't work out very well for him, I don't think. I mean, he got a swanky nice house. He's got a, holy cow, he's got like a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, at least like a 6-car garage.
What?
Dude, that's nuts. Elon Musk was like, my house isn't even this big. Elon Musk was like, I don't have a yacht. And he's got a massive house. It's like multiple houses, like all put together. And then he's got outdoor houses like a pool house and all this. I just feel like when you're trying to pretend to be like one of the poors and everyone else is the big rich meanie, then, you know, that kind of comes under. He didn't help himself when he wore all of his jewelry in his video. Like, at least pretend with the sackcloth and ashes, dude. Like, at least put on some kind of pretense. But he just, you know, he was like, that's the worst guy to put out there. That doesn't work anymore. People look at that and they're like, dude, you're a hypocrite. They're not intimidated by it. They look at it and like, dude, hypocrite. If he went out there looking like the average working man, I bet you he would have gotten a little bit more. I mean, granted, and he'd use totally different language and different attitude and all the whole nine yards. But, you know, that could have gone a long way. You know what I'm saying?
I'll cripple you.
Forget about it. All right. Today's stupidity, Kane. What we got?
All right. This is our President Biden just minutes ago. He's being asked what role Kamala has played in the federal effort post-Helene. And so he proceeds to tell us that, you know, they're singing the same song. She's exactly who's responsible for all this economic turmoil we've had with inflation. Listen to what he says here.
I'm in constant contact with her. She's aware we're singing from the same song sheet.
Oh.
She helped pass all the laws that are being employed now. She was a major player
okay.
in everything we've done.
So I think it's stupid because he just now politically tied her to what
I think
we're currently
he did it on purpose. Yeah. I don't think it was stupid. I think he did it on purpose.
Well, this Democrats is are upset
the
then.
Great payback.
They're calling him stupid.
Revenge.
Then.
It's the payback.
So yeah, James she's Brown directly tied. She's not separate from Biden.
Oh, she's directly tied. Totally he knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing.
So there it is.
That was on purpose. That was on purpose. Our prayers are still with everybody out there, obviously, in all these states ravaged by Helene. Thankfully, help is on the way. Not from the federal government, though. Fellow man, helping fellow man. It's awesome. Folks, have a wonderful weekend. I'll be back behind the mic with you on Monday.